Way, what time do we stop to eat? What time?
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock, all right. Yeah, I might get hungry. Just didn't want to keep you too long. 1 o'clock, all right. Yeah, we've got time enough to talk to you for a little while. You know, we're serving a God of miracles. Miracles have not passed away.
No, sir.
He still hears and answers prayer.
Amen.
Every saved person here is a miracle.
Amen.
Thank God for your salvation.
Amen.
Every preacher of the gospel is a miracle.
Amen.
Every dedicated woman serving God is a miracle.
Right.
These wonderful singers are miracles. Praise God for them. Evolutionists say we came from monkeys. I've never seen monkeys act like you folks. I've seen some folks act like monkeys, but anyway. You know, I had the privilege of knowing and working with Dr. B.R. Lakin for a number of years. He gave me his broadcast, and I had it for 21 years. And when I first met Dr. Lakin, he had a sense of humor like no preacher I'd ever known. But I took him to Holy Land in 1944, I took him to Holy Land. And we roomed together for 3 weeks. And I thought in 3 weeks he'll run out of anything funny to say. But he never did. He was just as natural as the brook flowing. It's just, he's Dr. Lakin. And so maybe, I don't know, maybe a little of it rubbed off on me. I don't know. I think of some funny things I hear once in a while. A man just said to his wife, "What kind of perfume is that you wearing? Is that Chanel number 5? She said, "No, it's Vicks Vapor Rub." Nothing wrong with laughing. Did you know that? Psalm 126, the Jews got right with God, and it said then was their mouth filled with laughter, and their tongue was singing. And laughter came before the singing. So it's just as godly to laugh as it is to sing. You know, I heard of a fellow in this insane asylum, and he had a habit of talking to himself. He'd off to himself just talk and talk. And somebody said to one of the caretakers, "What does he say when he talks to himself?" He said, "I don't know. I never was with him when he's by himself." Talking about miracles a minute ago, I'll take a minute before I preach to you, and then I won't preach so long. Talking about miracles a minute ago, my entire life has been a miracle. The last book I had published was Miracles I Have Seen, and it's proving such a blessing, such a faith builder for people. And by the way, I have some books on the table over there. If you buy two, I'll give you one. That's all I'm going to take time to say about them. But my life has been a miracle. And I want to share with you one or two of those miracles before I preach. I was invited to hold a meeting in Cincinnati, Ohio, years ago in a storefront building. And God gave us a good meeting, and we baptized, I think, 50 or 60 people, organized a church. And they asked me to be co-pastor. They had a young man who had not had much experience, and they said, "Until he gets his feet on the ground, you be co-pastor with him." And I agreed to it. But I lived in Lexington and pastored near Lexington. And Cincinnati was back those old crooked roads before interstates, was 3.5 hours one way. And no way I could preach in Lexington Sunday morning and Cincinnati Sunday afternoon and back in Lexington Sunday night and drive a car. So I bought an airplane, or half interested in an airplane, and learned to fly. And I was an instant millionaire. We bought that airplane for $750, $350, $325 a piece. But I was an instant millionaire. But anyway, I learned to fly that airplane. and flew it up and down the country and preached in meetings. And such a blessing, such a help back in those days. And a layman encouraged me to put a loudspeaker on an airplane. We preached from the air and had people saved by the scores. I still run into people tell me they got saved listening to me preach on that radio or that airplane. I got a letter from a preacher not long ago, and he said, one Sunday morning, a family came forward to our church and said, "We got saved this week. We heard Lewis Arnold preaching from that airplane. We want to join the church." And he said they joined the church. And then he said they brought two other families and they joined the church. So that was a miracle. But I want to share this with you. I was in Detroit, Michigan, in a revival meeting, went up there in the spring of the year, and landed on an airplane, or rather airport, that had a gravel driveway or runway. And it was all right then. The ground was frozen. 2 weeks later, got ready to go home, and the ground had thawed underneath. And a young fellow was flying back to Lexington with me and went out there to take off, and the wheels broke through, and that plane started to nose over. Well, I cut the throttle. It dropped back on the tail, but it had damaged the propeller a little bit, just chipped a little dent in it. But the man at the airport said, "You better let my mechanic test it, see it's all right." So he took it off and sanded a little place and put it back on, and didn't forget to charge me, and cost me a couple of hours' time. And we finally got out there and went to another part of the runway and got off and started flying back. And it was later than I intended to leave. As we started flying, I realized we were flying against a headwind, which meant that it slowed us down. And it was getting late, and I was getting low on gasoline, and there's no airports in that area anywhere. The chart did not show any airport anywhere. And I couldn't find a place to land, just hills and bushes and little valleys of nowhere to land. And I didn't tell my passenger, but I was getting worried. Now, ordinarily, you know, I felt like I ought to fly fast and get there in a hurry. But my training told me to slow down so I wouldn't waste gasoline. And I could get further on the gasoline, even though it'd take longer. So I slowed down as slow as I could fly, and I kept praying, and it kept getting later. I was watching that old needle on that gas gauge going down. I knew I was about to run out of gasoline and nowhere to land. And then it just seemed like just somebody pulled out a window sheet. It suddenly got dark. And I turned on my running lights and turned on the dash lights, and I could see that old gas gauge going down. And now I knew I could not land. I run out of gas. It killed myself and my passenger. And I kept praying, "Lord, I need somewhere to land. I have to get this airplane on the ground." And I kept praying and praying and looking, hoping I could find an airport. And after a while, almost out of gas, I saw ahead blinking lights, several of them, four, five, or six of them. None of them were indicated there's an airport. But I said, "I must be getting close to a town." Now, one of those maybe would bring me to an airport. Which one? And I prayed and said, "Lord, which light should I fly toward?" And the Lord said, "You fly toward that one." And so I pointed toward that airport or that light, and about out of gasoline, it was dark, could not see to land, and praying all the time. And I had not been flying long, and I looked down, and straight under me was an airport with a concrete runway. There's enough light from the sky, and the concrete was white enough I could see it. And I said, "Thank God. Now if I can just get around there and land before I run out of gas." Already the gauge had stopped. And I started circling that airport, coming around trying to see how to get in. And all of a sudden, a big floodlight came on, shining down the runway. And I said, "Praise God, somebody's there. There's a floodlight." And so I came around behind that floodlight. And I didn't know if they were buildings or wires or trees or what. I had to come in high. So I came in high over the boundary. And then I did what you call a side slip. You cross the controls, the airplane will slide down. Really, it's falling wing first. But when you get almost to the ground, you level out and start flying again. And so I came down till I thought I was pretty close to that runway, and I'd passed that old light, and I could begin to see a little bit now. And I leveled out, and in a minute, the wheels bumped the ground, or the runway, and I said, thank God. Taxed it up, and two fellows came out, and they said, you know, we never stay this late. The way closed 2 hours ago, and we just stayed around talking. They didn't know why, but I did. God saved my life that night. Saved my passenger's life. Praise God. We have a God who hears and answers prayer. I tell you something, people. I believe we need to do some praying. We need revival in America. I don't have to tell you, our nation and our world is in a mess. Perilous times has come, as the brother said earlier. We're living in perilous times. We need revival. I was reading a sermon the other day by Talmadge, and he said that back in one of the awakenings, he said there had been a depression, hard times, and people went back to church and they had revival. God bless the nation. We need to go back to church. We need to have revival. We need to pray down the power of God. We need to see an old-fashioned awakening. And I just pray, oh God, give us a burden for souls. Give us a burden for souls. I thank God for you people. Thank God for you preachers. I remember, far as I knew, there was not but one independent Baptist church in the state of Kentucky. I had the second one. I was in the convention, and I took my church out of the convention. When I did, I lost every friend I had. Lost all my openings, all my opportunities to preach, and just had to start my ministry over. But I thank God that now there are hundreds of independent Baptist churches preaching this old blacktop King James Bible and singing the old songs and doing the job of winning people to Christ. And oh, how we need to win people to Christ in this day. All right. I've talked to you long enough. Let me preach to you for a little while. I'll take the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah, just four chapters in Jonah. And in the first chapter, you find Jonah disobeying God, running out on God, and getting swallowed by a whale. In the second chapter, you find Jonah praying. God answered his prayer, and the old whale got sick at his stomach and put him out on the bank. Dr. Lakin used to say, there's FOB, free on bank. And God said, I've called you a second time to go and preach to Nineveh. And then he prayed out of the belly of the whale. And then the next chapter, he had a revival. Whole city turned to God. Mightiest revival of all time, perhaps, up until that time. And then in the final chapter, you have him pouting. Now, Jonah's not a very good example. He's not a good example at all. He was disobedient, ran out on God. He was stubborn. He wouldn't repent when he was on the boat. He'd rather die than to repent. And when he had success, had a great meeting, great revival, he was unhappy about it. He was self-centered, you see. He said, my ministry's ruined. I'll never get another revival. I preached the city was going to be destroyed. It wasn't destroyed. Makes me a false prophet, so he was angry about it. And then God, even in that time, God took care of him and gave him a gourd to shade him from the sun. And he fell in love with the gourd. He was self-centered, and he was materialistic, and he's fatalistic. He was always talking about dying. He's hot-tempered, always getting mad. All right, so much for Jonah. Now let me read to you from the third chapter. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went. I'm not going to read the rest of the verse. He arose and went. Now, the first time, he said, that's the second time. Word of the Lord came to me the second time. First time, in chapter 1, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, and saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into the ship with them to go to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, first of all, he said, I'm going to get out of the presence of God. There is no way to get out of the presence of God. God's presence is everywhere.
Yes, yes,
the psalmist said, if I take the wings of the morning and fly to the uttermost parts of the earth, behold, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. There is no way to escape the presence of God. He said, I'm going to get out of the presence of God.
Yes.
Now, there is a way to get out of the presence of God to bless. Yes. There's a presence of God to bless, and there's a presence of God to judge. And when you get out of the presence of God to bless, you get into the presence of God to judge. And so he got out of the presence of God and to bless and got into the presence of God to judge. And he ran into a great storm, and you know the story. Let me say to you that any time you get out of the will of God, it's the way down. He went down to Joppa, not up to Joppa. He went down to Joppa. Any time you get out of the will of God, it's the way down. He found a ship. The devil always has a boat going in the wrong direction.
Oh, yeah.
He found a ship going to Tarshish, and he paid the fare there. You don't ride the devil's boat without paying for it. He paid for it. And then he went down into the ship and went to sleep. And the ship departed from the coast and got run out in the water in the ocean, and a storm came, a mighty storm, and the sailors did everything they could to try to save the ship, but Jonah was the cause. He was out of the will of God. He was going down, and it wasn't long till he went down into the whale's belly, and he went down to the bed, to the bottom of the earth. He went down to the base of the ocean. He went down, and any time you get out of the will of God, you're on the way down. Years ago, when I was pastor, one Sunday morning, one of my families didn't come to church, and they were always there early, but they didn't come. And I thought, well, that's strange. Something's happened. They never miss. But they didn't come. They didn't come that night. Well, the next Sunday morning when I went to church, that family was there as usual, and the man came up to me and said, I want to tell you something. He said, last Sunday, we decided it was almost the end of the season. School would be starting. The kids would be going back to school. And we decided to take Sunday off and go to Cincinnati to the zoo and let the kids see the monkeys. I couldn't imagine them wanting to see monkeys when they could hear me preach. But anyway, and he said, you know, you get to Cincinnati, back the way the old road used to be. He said, you cross the river, and then there's all those railroad tracks. And you cross those railroad tracks going up a little grade to get over into the city. And he said, we got in the middle of those railroad tracks last Sunday morning, and for no reason at all, that automobile just quit. And there we were, and he said, I looked up, and here came a train doing 90 miles an hour, it looked like, the biggest train I ever saw. It was on the same track we were on. I knew we were all going to be killed, scared me to death. He said, we started jumping up and down. I put the car in neutral. And it started barely creeping back, and we kept jumping up and down. It kept creeping back, and said, finally, just barely, that train swept by, just barely missed it. And we got out and got on our knees and said, Lord, we're sorry. We'd have been home, this wouldn't have happened. We'd have been in church. And so we said, we're here today. And I said, praise God, you learned the lesson. To tell you something, it wasn't long till that family quit coming to church altogether. They just dropped out, no reason that they gave me. They just dropped out. And I went and visited with them, prayed with them, talked with them, begged them to come back. And they said, no, we're not coming back. Not long after that, that man was on his job. He washed windows. He's up on a scaffold about three stories up. And for some stupid reason, he stepped back and fell off the scaffold, hit a pile of concrete blocks, and just broke him all to pieces. They put him in the hospital and patched him up, but he never was able to do a whole day's work again. I want to say to you, you get out of the will of God, you're on the way down. Good Christian people get out of the will of God. And it's difficult in this day. We have temptation today like we didn't used to have. In my ministry years ago, I held revivals all the time, preached, pastored church full time, and held revivals all the time. And I'd be gone from my church for maybe a week or two, and I'd come back and I'd think that my people would be backslidden. I've been gone so long. And I'd come in, and one of the men come up to me and say, "We've been having prayer meetings. We're going to have a great service today." And they'd prayed down the power of God, and my people were close to God, and we'd have a great service, and folks would get saved. But when I pastored the last church I pastored, back in the 70s, I could be gone one Sunday and come back and my church would be backslidden. And we'd have to have a revival all over again to get back in the groove and begin to win people to Christ. You say, what's the difference? There was a time there wasn't any television. There was a time that we preached against moving, going to the movies. And we called Hollywood Hollywood. And we preached against movies. And we preached against other worldly things. And people lived close to God. And then they moved the movie house into the living room. And folks watched the television, and they're exposed to the world all week. And let me tell you something. The world will sandpaper the finish off your testimony. And God's people get backslidden. They get cold. And you have to have revival all over again every Sunday morning. Keep them close to God. Have to do a lot of preaching and a lot of praying. But let me say something to you. Lay people, you get out of the will of God, you're headed for trouble. The way is down. And preacher, you get out of the will of God, you're headed for trouble. It's important we find the will of God and stay in it wherever God wants us. Stay there till God moves us. He got out of the will of God, got in trouble. Well, after the fish swallowed it. And by the way, let me pause here to say, I believe that the book of Jonah is inspired word of God. Jesus believed it. He said, as Jonah was 3 days and nights in the heart of the earth, so shall the Son of Man, or in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and nights in the heart of the earth. So he believed it. Dr. B.R. Lakin said he believed it. But he said, I'm not sure. If I was gone 3 days without notice and I'd go home and my wife would say, where you been? And I said, fish swallowed me. I'm not sure she's what would take that. But I believe this book. I believe it's an inspired word of God. And it's a wonderful, a lot of good preaching here, brother. A lot of good preaching in this. And first of all, you can preach on the types. It's a type of the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know that. It's a type of Israel. Also a type of Israel. Jonah was called to go to the Gentiles. Israel was raised up to go to the Gentiles. Jonah disobeyed. Israel disobeyed. Jonah got into a storm, and Israel got into a storm among the nations. Jonah got swallowed by a whale, and Israel got swallowed by the nations. And then the fish put Jonah out on the bank, and the nations regurgitated Israel. And Israel went back, and we have Israel now in the Holy Land.
Yeah.
And God's still saying to them that they have a ministry. And after the rapture, during the revelation, there'll be 144,000 Jews sealed to go out to preach the gospel. And they'll have a great revival. Jonah had a great revival. They'll have a great revival. John said, I saw a multitude that no man could number of all men, all nations, tongues, and people. He said, I saw them before the throne. That was after those Jews went out to preach. And then, praise God, the Lord's coming back. And we're going to go to be with Him.
Amen.
So, it's a great book. And it's the book, the chapter that I read to you is the chapter of the second chance. I'm glad God gives a second chance.
Amen.
And all of us, I think, mess up once in a while. And we need a second chance. The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise and go. God called Abraham. And Abraham was slow responding. And he got tied down at Haran halfway. And it took a death in the family to get him out of Haran. But he finally got to Canaan. He had a second chance. He got to Canaan's land. Moses was reluctant. He said, I'm slow of speech. Yes. But God finally convinced him to go and stand before Pharaoh. Amen. And when he led the children of Israel across the Red Sea, and the sea closed behind them and drowned the Egyptians, destroyed their army, they stood on the shore on the other side and sang the praises of God. God calls a second time. Amen. And old Simon Peter followed afar off. He was afraid, but God forgave him. He quit the ministry and said, I'm going fishing. And Jesus stood on the shore and cooked breakfast for him, right. Had a meeting with him,
yeah.
And said, Peter, do you love me? And old Peter became the mighty preacher of Pentecost.
Amen.
I'm glad he's the God of the second chance.
Amen.
Early in my ministry, I did something I don't even remember what it was. It wasn't something real bad, but I didn't steal sheep or anything, but I did something wrong. And the devil said, God never will use you again. And I believed that for a time. Then I read about old Simon Peter and how God used him after he cursed and swore and denied the Lord. And I said, devil, you shut up. And God gave me a second chance to go on the ministry. I was with it years ago. A preacher up in Catlettsburg, Kentucky, was having a revival meeting. And he and I were close friends. He talked to me about his revival he's going to have for, I don't know, several months. Some outstanding evangelist coming in. And he was so excited about it. And finally the time came for the meeting, and I was busy at a revival somewhere else. And after about the second or third night, he called me. And he said, I'm in trouble. I need help. I want you to come preach for me tonight. I said, I can't. I'm in a revival. Well, he said, I don't care if you are. You've got to come to me. And so I got the man to where I was to let me off, and I went to finish his meeting. And he said, this is what happened. He said, that preacher was tearing my church apart. And every night got worse. And finally, I fired him. He fired the evangelist. And he said, I don't know, he may have said some things he shouldn't have said. He said, I don't think my church will have any faith in me anymore. I don't think God will ever use me again. I think I'm out of the ministry. But that night I went and he said, I want to have a meeting with my men before you preach. And so we had a meeting, called the deacons in and the trustees and so on. And they said, Pastor, we don't blame you. It wasn't your fault. And then he went out and had the church. I'm not recommending this, but he asked for a vote of confidence. And the people voted confidence. And then that week God gave us revival. Marvelous revival. And he went on with his ministry. I'm telling you that story to say, if you get discouraged and you're ready to give up, you're ready to quit, we're serving a God of the second chance. Amen. Word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh. And he started preaching. He didn't preach for the hour, he preached for the mile. He started preaching at the entering of the city, and he preached as he went down the streets of the city. And the message reached the peasant in his hovel and the king in his palace. And there came a revival. They proclaimed a fast, and a city got right with God. And that city was spared for 150 years. Listen, thank God there's a God of the second chance. And he'll give you a chance, and he'll use you, and he'll make you a blessing. All right, shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll bless these people. We pray, Lord, that you'll bless.